This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
And good morning, everybody, here on this Saturday as we get ready for Seattle taking on the Arizona Cardinals and final weekend of baseball for the Mariners as they try to conclude the season. Big day for college football, so we've got lots of things on the agenda. You can give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get going with some headlines. Well, the Seahawks right now are getting ready, and of course, they have some injury concerns, obviously, that have to be there, but it looks like, even though he's questionable, they should be able to have Chris Carson back. He has a hip injury. Ethan Posick's going to miss the game. C.J. Procise, boy, isn't a surprise, missed the game with an abdominal injury. K.J. Wright has a knee. He's going to be out. Delano Hill should be fine. Bobby Wagner's off the injury list. Doug Baldwin, the big one, is going to return, and that's huge news for this team. We'll see if they have to make any roster moves today. Maybe not, but I think they're in reasonably good shape. Josh Rosen going to start for the Arizona Cardinals, making his first start as a rookie. Mariners get a 12-6 victory with a big 7-run second inning in the victory over the Texas Rangers. They even the series at 1-1. That's win number 87. Wade LeBlanc was able to get his 9th victory. Robinson Cano had 4 hits, 4 RBIs for Cameron Maben, but one kind of a bad one. They benched Gene Segura because in the 3rd inning, he just wasn't running hard enough, and so I just wanted to see more effort from him. And I kind of wonder, as much as Gene is, you know, bringing an all-star to this team, is he going to be one of the ones expendable in this offseason? Well, we'll see about that. There's going to have to be some changes, even though, again, 87 wins is pretty good. 2 more games coming up, and, of course, the season will then end on Sunday. As far as college football, Washington has a big game against BYU tonight. They need to see, because that's going to be, even though they're 17.5-point favorites, that's still going to be a very difficult game. Washington State takes on a very good defensive Utah team. They're 2-point favorites in that game. So, big Pac-12 day today. All Pac-12 teams are going to be in action, and those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How are we doing? A fine Saturday morning, my friend.
Doing well. How about you?
Oh, can't complain at all. Hey, first things first. Do you believe what Todd Gurley said that the Rams can't be beat?
Yep. I think maybe a little bit of a overdone, but I mean, you know, the way they're playing, they look really, really good.
Yeah, they do. They look real good. Look real sharp. You know, particularly, you know, letting on not just the defense, you know, and their pass rush is starting to come to fruition, but man, their offense is pretty nice. They got a pretty
it's fantastic.
A lot of mismatches and they catch you in a lot of situations. I was noticing that Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get after your linebackers.
Oh, yeah, I think Anthony Barr, his head is still spinning. I mean, his head was spinning so much, I'm surprised his helmet didn't fly off. It was almost like a corkscrew. I mean, they played games with him the entire day, and that's really what Sean McVay does. You know, I mean, you see Doug Peterson did it last year. Matt Nagy now does it to a certain degree. I mean, you see a lot of those college-type movement things that are there. I mean, you watch BYU, they're going to be doing some of the same things. But when you start to see with the talent that the Rams have, they can do it at a very high level. I mean, what amazes me is that here they are, you know, they didn't re-sign Sammy Watkins, which I think was wise because I think he underachieved, where now they get Brandon Cooks, and he looks fantastic in that offense.
Oh, definitely, along with Cooper Kupp, and I mean, they just...
Robert Woods,
Oh, yeah, Todd Gurley, what else? I mean, it would take a very disciplined defense to slow them down. Very disciplined. You've got to have your A game on, and your linebackers, you cannot get them exposed. I think you should, if I were playing them, I'd play a lot of big nickel, Mr. Clayton. I'd play with the extra safeties out there, and I would not let them linebackers get exposed. I'd play with those safeties out there and let them do coverage. And speaking of safeties, Eric Reed just got a job with the Carolina Panthers. We'll see. I thought Eric Reed, to me, was one of the better safeties in the NFL. I mean,
agreed.
With the 49ers, he was probably their best player on defense last year.
No, Reuben Foster was their best player on defense. You know, the games that he was out there, Reuben, I think, was their best player. But, I mean, you know, Eric Reed's been to the Pro Bowl. He was certainly the best safety on the street. And at least what I liked about this, it was a pure football decision. Politics were not even involved. In fact, from what Eric Reed ended up saying once he signed with the Panthers is that nobody even asked him about the national anthem. Nobody from the team. They just signed him as a player. And so he'll make his decision on what he wants to do, but they needed a safety. They, you know, Denoris Searcy had to go on injured reserve because of a concussion. And so they needed somebody, and now they got somebody, and they got somebody who I think is very, very good.
Yeah, it's really good. Hey, we got a couple of intriguing games coming up Sunday, Mr. Clayton. How do you see that Atlanta and Cincinnati? How do you see that game projecting out? I mean, you know, you look at is Joe Mixon going to play for Cincinnati?
No, he's been scratched.
Oh, wow.
Joe Mixon has been scratched, and their starting center, Brian Price, has been scratched.
Ooh, that changes the dynamics of that game.
Yep.
And the way that they look at
it. But also, here's another thing that changes the dynamics of the game. You know, four guys on injured reserve, including three key starters on defense for the Falcons. You know, Andy LaVitre, the guard, he's on IR. You know, Devontae Freeman still, I don't know if he's going to be able to play with that knee injury. Doesn't look too good there. Then, of course, on defense, Kenny O'Neill, and I mean, he's out for the season.
Yeah.
Ricardo Allen, he's out for the season. Losing a guy like Deion Jones for the season, he's, you know, that's almost their Bobby Wagner. And you can see they're more vulnerable in defense.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, didn't Drew Brees put up like almost, I know, our defense wasn't that good last week either.
Yeah.
Drew Brees, I think he put up over 500 yards, total yards on him last week, right?
He did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you can't go around letting that go on like that, especially at home. I understand they play each other. They understand each other real well. But, I mean, it's just those injuries are starting to look – they're mounting up, and they're starting to show for the Falcons.
Yeah, so, and I'm not sold that the offensive line blocking is where it should be either on the Falcons.
True. Yeah, yeah. I agree with you there, too, also, because the ability to run the ball is not there.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the funny part? Here in the last two games, they solved their red zone problems. I think, they had like 7 red zone touchdowns in the last two games. And yet, that doesn't do any good because now they're giving up more than 30 points.
You can't do that. And speaking of the Saints, we're going to New York to play the Giants. The Giants are pretty formidable. How do you see that?
No, they're not. No. They're not formidable.
No.
I mean, I don't think they're very good. I mean, it's like not a good
nice
offensive line. Yeah, I know. Not a good offensive line. I think defensively they can play okay, but what you wonder about is what's going on with that offense and Eli Manning. Now, he bounced back and had a better game last week. First two games, he couldn't get anything going.
That's true. I mean, he's showing some wear and tear, or some digression in his play. That's how you look at it for him, for Eli?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I think there's something's not as good. I mean, he still can play. I still think he's got 2-3 years left. But the ball doesn't come out as quickly as I think it used to.
Yeah.
And, of course, now they've got – and then now you start talking about a team with injuries. I mean, they're starting to get the injuries mounted. Evan Ingram's going to be out a couple weeks with a knee injury. Olivier Vernon hasn't played yet. He's going to be out his fourth consecutive game with a high ankle sprain. Eli Apple, the cornerback, he's going to be missing. I think they got about 4 or 5 starters are going to be down for this game.
Wow. Wow. I mean, those injuries. Yeah, another game, Mr. Clayton. And it's hard to say you find it intriguing, but it's going to be intriguing. It's Miami and New England.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you look at
it, what it comes down to is that, you know, I guess it's not a matter of how good Miami is how bad New England is. Because if they lose a home game to the Dolphins, all of a sudden, they're 3 games behind.
Yeah. Whoever thought that to see New England playing the way they're playing right now and not having and I understand Julian Edelman is not there. But is Josh Gordon going to play this weekend?
Game time decision. That's a game time decision. They have not decided yet.
Oh, wow. I'd say right now, probably no. Yeah. Now, as far as that's concerned with New England, how do you see that? You gauge that? They don't really have a superior pass rush. And their offensive line is not that good right now, you know? They're not playing good ball to protect Tom Brady. Maybe it's because Julian Edelman is not there. That's his safety valve. I understand that. But it's just, they don't look that good out there.
Well, I think what's catching up to them is the bad drafts. I mean, they have, of their drafts this year, I mean, five guys are in injured reserve. Now, you might want to be saying that they're doing that on scholarship program, with the exception of the first round pick, because he's, he had a bad injury. So Isaiah Wynn, and so that's not good. But, they haven't really gotten much out of the last couple drafts. And, they're trying to patch in free agency and trades and all that stuff. And so what you wonder about, particularly with the lack of playmakers that they have on defense, and then really nothing until they get Edelman back at wide receiver on offense as far as throwing the ball. I mean, can you imagine how bad it would have been if Rob Gronkowski said, to Detroit, oh yeah, I'll come to Detroit, instead of saying, if I'm not a Patriot, I'm going to retire. I mean, they'd even be in worse shape.
Yes. It would be even more horrible over there. Speaking of a compadre of Bill Belichick, what's going on in Houston?
I tell you what, I mean, they're a mess right now. Deshaun Watson hasn't got off to a good start. He's only okay. The play calling, where I thought Bill O'Brien is a great play caller and what he was doing last year, but it's not off to a good start so far. I mean, they're just getting nothing done. And then defensively, I mean, you figure they should be better, but they're just off right now. And, at 0-3, I mean, this is a team that I thought had a chance to maybe step up and be a division winner in the AFC South. But now, I mean, you've got people rumbling that maybe, Bill O'Brien's job's in jeopardy. I don't know if that should be the case. Probably not. But they have to be one of the most disappointing teams in football.
Definitely. I thought their pass rush was going to be superior, getting Merciless back, J.J. Watt back.
Well, Jadeveon Clowney hasn't done much. I mean, he's been fighting injuries.
Because I think he came into the game last week with with no sacks from those three guys,
right?
Or something like that. Yeah, I mean, you're down there in Arizona. What's up with the Cardinals, Mr. Clayton? I know they're starting the youngster tomorrow.
Yeah,
but gee.
Well, I think the big thing. And we'll talk to Josh Weinfuss from ESPN.com here pretty soon. The big problem, I think, for them is that, their defense has been overpowered. I mean, that was going to be one of their strengths. You knew they were going to be rebuilding a little bit on offense. Offensive line, not all that good. They're changing all the receivers except for Larry Fitzgerald. That hasn't worked out that well. Larry's been playing with a hamstring injury. They haven't got the running game going yet. And then Sam Bradford was just basically terrible. I mean, that's just, they paid him $20 million and he only got three games out of him. No, actually two and a half games out of him.
For real. I mean, to give him that kind of cash, I mean, Mr. Clinton, you're expecting a little more production out of the guy.
Right.
But God is nothing.
For $20 million, you would think.
Mr. Clinton, do you believe in Cleveland?
No, I don't.
Don't? No?
I don't. I mean, I think they can win against Oakland, but I don't believe in them. I mean, I think they can take advantage. I mean, you saw what happened, and it was funny because, when they beat the Jets on Thursday night, that, I thought that really, as bad as Tyrod Taylor played, they were still going to lose that game. And so he gets the concussion. Baker Mayfield comes in, and the way it looked like they were not prepared for Baker Mayfield. So Jamal Adams, the safety, goes on radio Monday night and says, oh yeah, we weren't prepared for Baker Mayfield. And Todd Bowles, the coach, gets furious, calls him in. He says, oh yeah, you can't say that. And he says, oh yeah, Adams misspoke. But no, it was true. They had no game plan for Baker Mayfield, and he just picked them apart with the short passes in the middle. Hey, JB, got to run.
All right, Mr. Clayton, have a good trip, my friend. I'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Art in Federal Way.
Hey, good morning, John. How you doing?
Good morning, Art. How are you?
Fine, thanks. I've got to compliment the Seahawks last week. I was very impressed with that game. I love the game plan they put together, both on defense and offense. And what I really liked about the defense was the way we rushed, blitzed on, rushed the quarterback very effectively. Five sacks, I believe it was.
Right.
The last time we had five sacks of a quarterback in a game, do you know off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, no. I mean, but no, I thought that it was a really good game plan. And they're doing good on the interceptions, the turnovers. I mean, the defense is really put together about seven pretty good quarters. since the first quarter of the Chicago game.
Yeah, he plus besides being sacked 5 times, Prescott was running for his life quite a few times too. You know, so we had him on the run pretty much the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that game the way they call it. Not an offense. Russell running a disciplined operation. I just wish he'd open it. I know what they're trying to do with him, but I wish he'd open it up just a tad more sometimes. But Chris Carson.
But also, you notice that he's, even though, again, he's not missing practice or anything like that, you know, he's on the injury report with a hamstring injury. So I think maybe, you know they got to be cautious about that. And so when they need him to run, you know he's going to run. But I think they're trying to be a little bit cautious, which I think is fine.
Wilson's on the injury report?
Mm-hmm.
Really? I didn't know that. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he's having full practice, but they had his name out there early in the week, in the middle of the week with a hamstring.
Okay.
So it's just a minor one, but I think it's one they're kind of watching. So if there's only one adjustment I would make, because they made some of it, is I still would try to do a little bit more quick tempo, quick passing type stuff.
Yeah, I agree with
you. And I think
you
with the return of Doug Williams or Doug Baldwin, I think that there's a good chance that might happen.
How are we going to do against Arizona?
I think, Arizona right now, they're 0-3. They're getting outscored by 18 points a game. I mean, you would anticipate they should be able to do well. They've got a rookie quarterback in there. Now, I say that a week after the Minnesota Vikings were hosting a Buffalo Bill team that didn't have LeSean McCoy and had a rookie quarterback, and they end up losing by 21.
Yeah,
but, I mean, this is a game that
you're
hitting them at the right time. They're off to an 0-3 start, and they got
Patrick
a rookie quarterback.
Peterson still on defense there? Is he still a quarterback?
Oh, yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's having a good year, too.
How about David Johnson? What's his problem this year? I know him and Fitz haven't.
I think
had
the offense. Well, the fact that they're not getting much in the passing game, they're probably ganging up against the run. We'll get the report on that coming up next when we talk to Josh Weinfuss from ESPN.com.
Okay. You think Johnson will do well against us or no?
I think they have a chance to stop him. I mean, this is a tough stretch that they're having right now with, running backs. I mean, you had Jordan Howard on Monday night, Ezekiel Elliott last week. Next week, it's Todd Gurley. Then, this week, it's, David Johnson. So, I mean, they're getting some of the best backs. But, I thought that they did a reasonably good job in the first three quarters of containing Ezekiel. He was able to break some runs in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they did a good job with them, One other quick question for you. I'm from Philadelphia, so I used to be an Eagles fan because I was born there a long time ago. Too long to bring up. Now I'm 70 now. But anyway.
Oh, wow.
They ran two tight ends, about 17 targets last week. Ertz and this rookie Dallas Goedert, I don't know how you pronounce that last name. You familiar with that kid?
I am, yeah.
Pretty good draft choice. Are they doing this more often or what?
I think they're doing it temporarily because they don't have much at wide receiver. I mean, you think of all the injuries. Mike Wallace went on injured reserve. Alshon Jeffries missed his first three games. They had to get Jordan Matthews back, and now he's hurt. So they probably have as many healthy tight ends as they do wide receivers. And so I think they're just trying to patch and do the best they can under a tough circumstance. Who's that again? He's a game time decision. Yeah, game time decision. Yep.
Okay.
So it's not certain he's going to play. So no.
Very much as always, I appreciate it. You do a great job.
Hey, Art, thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Edmonds. Hey, Mike.
Oh, hi, John.
How's it going?
John, you there?
I'm right here, yes.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for doing this, as always. Are you healthy today?
Oh, thank you. I got a cold.
Yeah.
I don't, it's one of those things where this has been for different people, because I know my wife is in the same boat. I mean, it's like it's a lingering cold. And so I don't know if this is a new one, which it probably isn't, or just kind of a revisit of one that I had about a month ago.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that ends up coming back on you. So.
Yeah.
I wanted to express how upset I am with the Mariners. They're already trying to spin all the positive aspects of this season, and I just don't see it that way. It's kind of like, can you imagine Pete and John being happy with 9-7? And that's what their
records
equate to. I think John said it was like a gut punch the season they had last year. And much as I like Jerry DePoto, I'm starting to wonder about his vision. He's stated that he wants a club that's around 85 to 90 wins every year. I don't view that as World Series material. And I don't see how the Seahawks would be happy with that, and I don't think the Mariners should be either. So,
yeah, but when you have a franchise that's been out of the playoffs for 16 to 17 years, I don't think you start worrying about World Series. You start worrying about making the playoffs. I mean, well, you want to get that streak going.
Yeah, admittedly so, and yet I wonder about his approach. I think adding a piece and adding a piece here and there is kind of suspect, because by the time you get the dead weight out, you're 3 years down the road by the time you get rid of Seager's contract. And you could have been 3 years into a total rebuild, and I think that works better than this partial dabbling around. So.
Yeah, see, I question that, and here's the reason why. You've got more teams trying to tear it down and bring it back up, and less quality players available to help you do that. Sure, it worked for the Astros. Yeah, it worked for the Cubs. But, I mean, you look at the other teams and how long they're going to be down. I mean, you know, and understanding, now, can you put up with five more seasons of no playoffs and probably 100-loss seasons if you break it down? That's what you're looking at.
I think we're going to have five more seasons and no playoffs, no matter what you do.
That could be. I can't debate that. But
yeah.
Because I mean, you know, you look at the 87 wins, and you figure they're going to split these last two games and get to 88. But what ends up happening is that they had so many one-run games that they won, and I mean, you saw that caught up to them in the second half of the season, and you can see they're minus. I think it was what it's now minus 37 on the run differential. You know, that equates as far as performance-wise to like about a 78, 77 win team. You figure that they're going to drop next year. They're not going to win 88 games next year. And so unless they make some additions that gets them better. And, of course, you know, they do it. One of the success stories, I think, for the team this year was the fact the American League was so bad. And they were able to take advantage of that early. Now they're in a division where Oakland's better. You got Houston better. Texas is in a rebuild. Angel or disappointment, but they're in the toughest division they could be if they're trying to be a playoff team. And yet they were 10-9 against the Astros, 10-9 against the. Right now they need to get a couple more wins to jump them. But I mean, they have winning records against just about every team in the division. But the problem is that they didn't do well in the East. That beat them up pretty good, and then they got destroyed by the National League.
Agreed, but with Oakland and Oakland still on the rise, and Houston still on the rise, and those teams aren't going to go anywhere. And if they hope to make the playoffs, they're going to have to be a lot closer to 95 to 100 wins than they are to 85 to 90. So,
I don't know if they can make that jump. That's going to be tough.
Yeah, I agree.
But no, there's no question. This had to be a gut wrenching one because. Yeah, this was a tough one because, again, having an 11-game lead over the A's and then blowing that, I mean, that's the ultimate tease. That's not good.
Yep.
Hey, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you, John.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Joining us next, Josh Weinfuss of ESPN.com. We'll talk Cardinals football. John Clayton, ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
And joining us right now is Josh Weinfuss from ESPN.com. And Josh, what the heck? I mean, we knew that the Cardinals were going to struggle. But this bad, 0-3, outscored by 18 points a game, what has happened?
If I had that answer, John, I'd be in Vegas right now. I wouldn't be a sports writer. I don't know. It's a little bit of everything, honestly. I mean, the special teams have been okay, but offensively, this team cannot figure it out. You know, Sam Bradford struggled mightily, obviously, the first two and three quarters games, if you will, until he was pulled late in the fourth quarter, or early in the fourth quarter against the Bears last week. But the Cardinals, I think they've gotten away from what worked with the personnel that they have now, and that's simply because you have a new offensive coordinator. David Johnson is not being used like he was. Mike McCoy is calling pass plays on 68 or 69% of the snaps. And, you know, for a passing game that does not have a clear-cut number two receiver and is obviously a quarterback that I don't think Sam Bradford had the confidence in himself that he had last year. I think it has to do with the knee injuries coming off of. The passing game just simply did not work. And, you know, they got behind too quickly because the defense couldn't get off the field. And when you get behind by that much, you have to start passing the ball. And they got away from the run. They're not using David Johnson in the passing game like they did last year. And when you're not running the ball with David Johnson and the passing game's not working, the offense has shown to be exactly what it is, and that's 20 points in three games.
Yeah. Why is it that they're not doing with David Johnson? Because they just gave him 3 years, $39 million. And understand, when you're trailing like they have, you are going to get more into a passing set. But is it the line blocking, or is it just a commitment?
I think it's more the commitment. I think the lines play pretty good. I'm not going to sit here and say they've been outstanding, but and they haven't been bad. They've been okay, you know. But I think it's more the commitment. They haven't stayed with David Johnson consistently through drives, and I think the other guys on the offense are starting to notice. I had one player tell me the other day, he said, "Josh, why aren't we running the first three downs of every drive?" He's like, "We have David Johnson." And this guy told me, he said he'd be a lot happier if they got 9 yards on three runs with David than pass run. So obviously it's an issue with the play calling. And, you know, Mike McCoy has now lost his last 9 games as offensive coordinator, 6 in Denver, now 3 in Arizona. I think that's that's more telling than anything.
No question. That is very weird. Who is the number two receiver legitimately? Number two, number three receiver beside Larry Fitzgerald?
I think right now you have to look at the number two as Christian Kirk, and number three is Chad Williams. But they're about the same size. And I think what this team is missing right now is a Michael Floyd size receiver. You know, it was interesting. I was watching the Carson Palmer Football Life, and they kept showing highlights of Palmer hitting Michael Floyd on the sideline in the corner of the end zone. And the more I watched it, I kept replaying those scenes, because the Cardinals don't have a guy like that right now. And they have no one who can work the sideline, who has a big body, who's tall, who can go up and out jump guys. And they're missing that dramatically right now, and drastically. But right now, I would say the number two is Christian Kirk. And I'll be interesting how his relationship with Josh Rosen plays out, because they've known each other since high school, and they have that chemistry that is needed with a brand new quarterback. So this wide receiver room, you know, they have good talent, but they're all the same size. So I think that's an issue for this team as well.
Yeah, that is so strange. And then on defense, it just seems like they've been overpowered, which is something that nobody expected.
No. I mean, this defensive front was expected to be good. I think missing Marcus Golden has hurt this defense, simply because, you know, I think offensive lines can now pay more attention to Chandler Jones. And I think now that Marcus Golden is back and he's kind of finding his rhythm and getting his feet back, you know, he tore his ACL in week 4 last year, there's going to be a lot more issues for offensive coordinators to plan for. So, that's one thing. You know, Arizona's run a lot of a 4-2-5, and for whatever reason, Hassan Reddick and Dan Buchanan have been on the sideline instead of on the field. So that's been an issue, because you have two of your most athletic, powerful players on the team, not on the field. I think that's causing some concern. And then, again, Arizona is having trouble with their second cornerback spot opposite of Patrick Peterson. You know, Patrick Peterson has his guys taken care of. Quarterbacks don't like throwing to him. But, you know, Arizona started Jamar Taylor at that cornerback position opposite Pat, and he struggled. And this week they started to practice Ben Wickery with the first team. Him and Taylor split reps. So it'll be interesting to see who gets to start on Sunday and how those reps are split up. Steve Wilks, Arizona's head coach, you know, said on Friday that he's going to play them both. But I think one's going to have to separate themselves pretty quickly for that job.
Yeah. Take us through what's going on with Hassan Reddick and Deion Buchanan, because you're right. I mean, these are talented players. And I know that they asked Steve Wilks about it this week, and he says, well, you got to play well to be able to earn the chance to be on the field. And what, Buchanan only had like one play last week?
Yeah, he had one play. Reddick had 4 plays. I mean, these are both first-round picks. And, you know, Hassan Reddick was drafted 2 years ago in 2017. So it's very head-scratching. Al Holcomb, the defensive coordinator, was a little bit more revealing. He just basically said, you know, in a nutshell, that these guys have to learn the system better. They have to be more prepared. But I think, you know, you look at their athleticism compared to the guys who are playing now, Gabe Holmes, not to knock on him, but I think Hassan Reddick's a better athlete than him. I think Arizona might be shooting themselves in the foot a little bit by not playing these guys.
How much of it is making the shift from a 3-4 to a 4-3?
I think that's a lot of it, but at the same time, they're only playing two inside linebackers. So I think that's obviously another concern for these guys. But at the same time, Hassan Reddick has played, what, three different positions since he's been in the NFL. So I think if they can keep him at one place for a while, I think you can. Yeah, his head must be swimming at this point. You know, I think he needs to stick with one position. Obviously, it's not his fault, but I think him and Buchanan have the athleticism to make up for any deficiencies elsewhere. But you know, I think because of how offenses have shifted, you have to play five defensive backs, and Al Holcomb and Steve Wilkes like to play four linemen. You know, you have the two linemen, the two pass rushers on the edge, so you're stuck with two inside linebackers, and obviously that's become an issue for these guys.
Yeah, it's amazing to think. And then, of course, Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, still a very good receiver, but he's been fighting a hamstring injury. Do you see any drop-off in his game at all?
Besides the hamstring injury, no, I don't. I think, you know, I think he still has it. You know, his cuts are still sharp. He's still able to get open. I think there are times where Sam Bradford probably could have waited an extra, you know, beat or two and found him because Fitz was getting open. I think the only thing that's slowing him down now is that hamstring.
Yeah. I mean, how much heat do they take by having the signing of Sam Bradford and then only getting five games?
Three games. I mean, it's not even...
Or three games, you're right, yeah.
Not even three full games. I think it's going to... It depends on how Josh Rosen plays, to be honest. If Rosen comes in here and lights it up, I think people are going to tend to forget about Sam a little bit. But if Rosen struggles and then there's more questions on who's going to be their quarterback, then I think you're going to look at this team and say, you just gave this guy $15 million guaranteed, possibly another $5 million if he's active. What were you thinking? Like, but at the same time, you know, you saw what Bradford did last year against Minnesota, or for Minnesota in week one. You saw how accurate he was. And I think you just don't foresee coming, and I think that's, you know, a guy who's coming off of another knee injury, who isn't probably fully competent, who's probably a little nervous, doesn't want to get hurt again because he knows maybe one more injury is it. So I think they're seeing there are things you just can't predict, and I think that's what happened with Bradford this year.
Man, it's amazing to think. But, I mean, what was the original plan for Rosen? Because I know the plan is not to start him in week four. I mean, I think we can all agree on that. That wasn't the idea. But what was the plan for when they would want to get him in?
Well, I think the plan was to wait and see on how well Sam Bradford played. I mean, I think that was it. They weren't going to play Rosen unless they absolutely needed to. I think the hope was that Sam Bradford could have given them 16 games, let Rosen learn, you know, maybe get him in a blowout or two if they happened one way or the other. But obviously the plan was definitely not to get him in week four. I think the plan was, you know, let Sam kind of play as well as he can. And if he gets hurt, we have a backup. But if he plays well and he's through all 16 games, then Josh Rosen sits for all 16.
Wow, just amazing. So tell us about Josh Rosen. What expectations and what do you see of him? What kind of expectations could he have in his first game?
You can tell that this is a very calm and collected kid. He has a ton of poise for a 21-year-old. He's definitely mature beyond his 21 years. You know, and then on the field, you see he has a strong arm. He's athletic, and he can save plays with his feet. And I think that's important because that's something the Cardinals haven't had here for a while. Obviously, you know, Carson Palmer was old and slow, and he'll admit that. You know, Sam Bradford wasn't the most athletic or mobile person at this point in his career. So now that they have Rosen, who can, if a play breaks down, he can create plays with his feet. That's a huge part for this team right now. But I think, you know, he's also a kid who's going to take some chances, and I think that can go either way. You know, he can throw some interceptions because of it, or he can make plays happen. So I think the Cardinals are getting a very refined quarterback. Obviously, there's a lot for him to learn. One thing that I have noticed is he gets confused a little bit when a defense tries to disguise what they're doing. I think that just comes with time and experience. So other than that, you know, the Cardinals are getting a guy who's very, very smart and can figure out on his own.
Very interesting. So, Josh, it's going to be an interesting game tomorrow. And I guess, I mean, how bad would it be in Arizona if this team is 0-4?
Can't get much worse than what's been happening now that they're 0-3. I mean, I think people are going to give Rosen a little bit of some leeway there and give him some slack because he is a rookie. And I think that if they lose this game and maybe if they lose next the week after to San Francisco, which would, I think at this point, be a shocker considering Jimmy Garoppolo is out, I think the fans here are going to start to realize that it's a complete rebuilding year, and then they're going to have the, but as long as Josh Rosen shows some bright spots, I think the fans will be okay because they know that he's here for the long run. He's not a Sam Bradford who might be here for a year or two, that, you know, that Rosen is the quarterback of the future. And as long as he shows some good things, I think the fans will be okay with it.
Okay, well, it's going to be interesting. And, Josh, I'll be looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Arizona takes on the Seattle Seahawks.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you. And that's, of course, Josh Weinfuss from ESPN.com. Give us a call, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Steve in Tacoma. Hey, Steve.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. So I've been waiting for this question for you because you are the professor, and I just want to tell you I love having you in this area. We almost forgot that you're from Pittsburgh.
Well, how can you forget that? It's like, are you from Pittsburgh?
No. I'm still bitter about the Super Bowl.
Well, I can understand that. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you. Now I know. And I'm talking about it just maybe a few players as far as elite. I mean, there's certain players that you look back through time, and, I mean, they're just so talented, they transcend a little bit. And my curiosity, it might be dumb to ask, but I'm wondering with kickers, okay, like with Michael Dixon or you go back to Ray Guy, some of these punters, they're so, and I mean, you're not talking about a large group, you're talking about a very few, and they're so talented and so good, like what Dixon can do with the ball is amazing. Is it an injury? Or why don't we have a punter that kicks field goals, too? And it might sound dumb, but I'm just curious if you have somebody that talented, is that viable or is that just not, you know, not?
No, because I think, I mean, it's still a game that you get injuries, even they could be minor injuries. And for a couple of, because so what happens then, if you put everything in one kicker, whether it's a punter or and all that, what if he gets hurt?
Right.
Then all of a sudden you can't get extra points, you can't get field goals, and you can't get punts. You destroy yourself. And it's not as though the kicker can automatically fill in for the punter, but, I mean, you know the punter fills in for the kicker. And then, of course, maybe this was the wrong thing the teams have done, but now they've had it so that the punter is the holder on all these kicks. And so, and as opposed to quarterbacks, because they want to save on the quarterbacks. Because remember, I mean, you only have mostly two active quarterbacks during a game. So I think it's a roster thing. You know, maybe if they would expand the active roster, something like that could change. But with the current active roster and spots being so precious with 46, you know, you need those two kickers. And so, you know, it's a game of a specialization. You know, the punter may not be able to be as good. And then remember, you also have your kickoffs. So it would be stretching things a little bit too thin.
No, that makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. I appreciate it, man. I had to bring it to the professor because, you know, I'm not just trying to butter you up, but I'll tell you, buddy, we're glad to have you out here. You're the best on the radio.
I appreciate it. Hey, by the way, don't forget, got coming up on Monday, launching ClaytonFootball.com, and we're going to have a lot of good stuff on that. It's going to be launching at Monday, and, you know, we're going to have David Chow do the injury reports. We're going to have Joel Corey doing contract stuff, and, of course, I'll be doing my 4 to 5 stories a week. You know, I'll have breaking news. I mean, it's going to be fun. Check it out. Clayton Football. If you want to get the kind of a reminder, it's out there right now.
Clayton Football. All right. But no, I'm going to check it out. You take care. Have a great Saturday, man.
All right, Steve. Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Tommy in Puyallup. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, John. Hey, Marco Gonzalez, the other night, man, we're not talking that much about him. We didn't see 29 starts coming out of him coming off Tommy John surgery, man. That is strong player, and he's only 26. He'll be 26, I think, going into spring training, or he turns 27 then. So that is money right there. That is a good pitcher right there who throws a nasty breaking ball. What do you think about him,
right,
man?
I like him a lot. I mean, because the way he pitched, and I think what ended up happening when he got to early August, you know, he had pitched so many innings, you know, he kind of maxed out, and I think he just fatigued. He tired out, which is expected because he's never really had to go this many innings before. He is coming off the surgery, and so I thought he has done excellent. I mean, remember, he was the Cardinals' main guy in the minor leagues for a couple of years, and so this was the expectation. Then he has the Tommy John, and he loses a little bit of his fastball, but the great part is he's a good pitcher, and I think that he was able to establish himself this year as the pitcher. And so, the combination of Paxton and Marco Gonzalez, and I think that, Mike Leake has been, a good innings eater. That's not bad. I mean, Wade LeBlanc has kind of exceeded expectations, and again, becoming that five-inning, six-inning starter, and then, of course, it's now, what do you do with Field? And of course, the answer. You can't do too much because he is.
No. I wouldn't even be thinking about Felix. I think about my pitching staff right now. And Marco Gonzalez is a strong. He'll stop a losing streak, is what he'll do. You know, he can go out winning games regularly for you. And if you take out August, he's like 13-6 or something. And man, that breaking ball. And he throws it for strikes. The hitter doesn't know what to do. You know, it's coming at him, and they don't know what to do with that damn thing. And he falls in your lap for a strike, and I love it, man. And that is a good player. That was a strong trade we made, and I like it. He's got experience, and that is a good player. I hope they don't ever give up on him, man.
No, I don't think they will. Although, hey, thank you. No, that was a good move, and some of the moves, certainly the Mitch Haniger trade was an excellent one. Although you kind of start to wonder a little bit about Gene Segura right now, and if you know, last night they ended up putting him down for not running out a hit hard enough or running down the bases hard enough, so they benched him pretty early in the game. So we are continuing your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.